Hey, everybody. In this video, we discuss what we think about this potential bull trap in the NFT and crypto markets, the correlation between the crypto markets and the NFT market, and then last but not least, our shopping list as well as price targets for the various NFT projects that we're interested in investing in. That segment's definitely really good. As usual, this and all of our content is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your mobile phone. Hope you enjoy the show. This video is a warning that we might be in a bull trap. As usual, come on, nothing in this video is financial advice. I mean, come on, let's be real. It's not financial advice. NFT space is hella risky. Always do your own research. And if you like the videos, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button, buy the NFT, subscribe to the podcast, do it all. Gentlemen, how are we?
I just wanted to say before we get into our sponsorship, I just wanted people to know about the disappointment that I'm feeling right now. And the disappointment primarily has to do with a decision from PO. And I just want to let this out there real quick, which is that there was a decision about how we named the title of this video. I was really rooting for Inside Madonna's Vagina, Behind Madonna's Vagina, Madonna Gives Birth to Trees. Those were all of some of the brainstorming ideas that I was coming up with. And he just thought, you know, hey, that's inappropriate, which leads me to our sponsor, FTX. If you go to thenifty.com/FTX, you're not going to be able to buy those NFTs. Those are only for auction on less inappropriate decentralized sites. You know, this one, if you want to go onto a centralized exchange that you have discounted trades where it's super cheap for you to get access to, I think they just lowered the fees even further. That's like mind boggling to me, right? And so
they're like, the fees are at zero.
They're basically like, I don't want to project where they're headed, but they may start paying you to actually buy crypto. Like, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I'm just speculating here. So anyways, let's get into the show and maybe I'll give a more appropriate sponsor reading in a bit, which doesn't involve a female's private parts.
So look, so everybody's saying that this is a bull trap. Easy Eats is saying it. Nick's saying it. I'm sure Kix is saying it. Does that inherently mean that it's not going to be a bull trap and it's actually just up only?
So here's a theoretical thing that would prevent this from being a bull trap. If the Fed came out, if there was some report saying that inflation has been successfully tapered, which it has, actually, it's down from what the prior reading was.
And but still at 40-year highs.
Still at incredibly high levels.
It's like getting like an F and then you get like a D minus and you're like, well, like we're trajectory, not failing anymore.
Trajectory, right? No, but none of us know what the implications are of the various Fed rate hikes that are currently going on. And there's theories on it, but we won't see until we actually get a report on that. But ultimately, that data is what drove a large portion of drove the macro market, essentially. And so ultimately, you have to wait and see where that data comes in. We don't have any strong catalyst at the moment on the crypto side, but we do on, you know, the NFT side. We could see some like announcement from Bored Ape Yacht Club or something like that, which ends up, frankly, seems like the only organization that's able to really move the market in a significant way on the NFT front.
Yep.
But I will say it's long-term bullish as hell, watching the way that we've bounced off this bottom here. And because it felt like NFTs were dead. Like that was like, we basically made a video saying that much. We were ready to put up our hat and just kind of spend all the remaining money that investors have given us over the coming years and not work. But it turns out, don't worry investors, the next day it turned out that the NFT market is not dead. And so we're still gonna keep on marching forward.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. I mean, I think if you just purely look at the OpenSea volume charts, and I mean, definitely one thing to keep in mind is, you know, since a lot of these price in USD, it's not like the apples to apples comparison, right, in terms of trading volume, because you can have things, you know, if ETH is dropping, you need more volume just to, you know, keep it right up in terms of USD. But you can also check that by like the total volume units on what you're looking at and see if it popped up a little bit. But yeah, on the Dune chart that I'm looking at, you know, it says on the 8th, we bottomed out at 52 million. And then we kind of rallied up to, we had a really good day on the 10th of 129 million, but then back down to 75 on the 11th, and then back down to 57 on the 12th, which was a little low. And then today, I guess I got to use the Nifty for that for today.
The 13th, we're at 68.
Yeah, so it's improving a little bit. So I think that the best case for like NFTs to have like a stronger rally would be either completely flat crypto markets or slightly trending up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people say they're inversely correlated, but that's really only an effect like above 3,000. We're so low in the 2000s that that like crypto could move up, you know, like ETH could slowly grind back up to 2,500 and it would still be a great macro environment for NFTs. Shout out to our other sponsor, Spindrift. But if we see some more pullbacks in crypto, that's going to influence like the kind of the fear and the willingness to go risk on in NFTs. And that's what we really saw is like when crypto looked like it was dying, nobody wants to buy the more speculative asset, which is NFTs.
Yep.
So I think the, you know, if you're looking for a bull case in NFTs, you're looking for like, okay, worst case ETH just like chops, but can like stay above 2000 and just chop for a couple of weeks. That will cause people to speculate more on NFTs. Or best case scenario, it kind of just slow grinds back up to 2500, which helps people regain confidence in the overall crypto NFT markets. And that would be like bullish as well. So like the only like really bearish thing that you would see is if like ETH crashes again, that could spook some people, especially since it's like so brutal for the NFTs to be getting repriced in USD. And I would expect that there will probably be like a lot of PVP. If the NFT market is neutral or even slightly bullish, you're still going to see a lot of people looking to take gains and take profits. So like, you know, pumps will probably be like a little bit more like short lived, but I mean, you can't say the worst is over in terms of crypto, but at least like probably like the potential for terrible scenarios, there's just less of them to happen. You know, Luna already completely wiped out. They tried to depeg USDT Tether. That didn't work out. If anything, that showed some strength, which is bullish that the crypto markets can survive that, you know, that kind of blow. And it does sound super painful that Luna, you know, went to zero in a short period of time, but Facebook lost $200 billion in market cap in a week. Like this stuff does happen in equities. Like, you know, Netflix lost 100 plus billion. I think it all depends on the crypto markets, but I do think that this was also a stress test for NFTs as well. And
yeah,
I think it was a pretty good one because if there's straight like a run on the bank or straight panic, you can have NFT projects temporarily zero out, you know, similar to what happened to Luna, where you just have, if everybody's literally panicking, running at the bank, you could have, you know, Bored Apes go down to 50 in a day. I'm talking like absolute catastrophic scenario. But while while we're watching Luna go to zero, while we're watching Tether attempt to depeg, the NFT markets, I think, relatively held up pretty well, which is, I think, is a good sign of the type of investors, especially in the blue chip projects, where they didn't panic. And I think that's a good sign.
Yeah. So like a couple things you said there is, so first of all, Luna going down, I understand why someone would think that maybe that has this really, you know, like adverse effect on the broader crypto markets. But you have to also keep in mind it's basically a shit coin. So I know we have all these like crypto people and everything, but like a Bitcoiner would have just called that a shit coin and they're just done. It doesn't have anything to do, you know, with Bitcoin. And I think an ETH maxi would also probably call it a shit coin, especially since it was backed by Bitcoin, right? So it's like the two.
Yeah, it wasn't even really. That, like, it wasn't collateralized by Bitcoin, but I guess you're right. Like, it was kind of like pseudo, like a stopgap. People have been actually talking about for months. I remember reading an article like 2 or 3 months ago where someone said that this would happen to Luna just because it's the whole mechanism is broken and it's been broken. And there's never been an uncollateralized stablecoin that's worked out. They've all done this kind of thing in the end. It's just dependent on time. I think the bigger thing is that there was a lot of smart people, very smart people that were still, despite whatever you think about UST, they were very bullish on the Luna ecosystem. And so I think you saw some smart money take some really big L's. You know what I mean? And that usually doesn't happen, right? Because like smart money usually doesn't get blown out like retail money. But this was a smart money get wrecked event. But you are right. It shouldn't really, other than, you know, hurting the overall crypto markets, it's not really directly correlated to NFTs. It's not like if that happened to Solana, where there's a lot of NFT activity on it, right? That could be like a direct hit on, you know, the NFT markets. But this was like an indirect hit at best.
Yeah, I think that's fair. On the NFT side, you're absolutely right. A catastrophic event, because you're selling an individual JPEG, it's not like a market sell order, like, you know, like a cryptocurrency or a stock. You're selling an individual JPEG, it can get ugly as fuck. Like the NFT market was not thriving during the crash of March 2020, the way that it's thriving now. But can you imagine? So Bitcoin, I think the bottom of Bitcoin was $5,000 at that time. It might've been a little bit lower, but something around there. And a lot of Bitcoiners reference that as like the scariest day in the history of Bitcoin, because it was just like a hard dump, like just a red candle straight down.
Big old dump.
Can you imagine what the NFT market would have looked like on that day? That would have been absolutely gnarly. I think the gnarliest story of this week, one of the commenters, Cedric, just mentioned it. He said, talk about Azuki. I've been talking about Azuki all week with like different people. I talked about it with Easy. I talked about it literally an hour and a half ago with Node. I've talked about it with everyone, but it bears repeating, which is how gnarly is the action on Azuki right now? You want to talk about smart money taking L's. Keyboard Monkey sold like a dozen Azukis at 8 ETH on Monday or whenever it was, Tuesday.
Yeah, he bought at 12, sold at 8, now it's at 15. But he made a shit ton of money shorting the overall market, so we don't have to worry too much about him. But yeah, it's one of those events that it's so hard to time. It's so hard to know what's going to happen. I would say we all three have seen this same thing play out multiple times before. It's in the NFT space. It is very weird where people can still be like bullish on the project, even if there's a ton of like founding team FUD.
Yeah.
Like we saw the same thing with like Pudgy Penguins. We saw the same thing with that like racist project temporarily. Like
Jungle Freaks, the bullish.
Exactly.
FUD, the racist FUD.
Exactly. Cause like NFTs are a little bit unique in the fact that like the community can survive on with almost sort of without a lot of help from the founding team, because of the fact that they're not attached to like a protocol or something like that. They can kind of live independent of it. So we've actually seen this effect happen a few times where like you think this cool project is done, it like dumps 80%, and then people just rally there like hoping that they can you know, turn it around. You know, I still think it's, you know, a bad, you know, stain on Azuki, I think, yeah, it just shows. The other thing is that like, it's actually harder to like KO a NFT project than it is to KO a coin, because of the fact of the liquidity pools. So like if everyone panics on a coin, it can literally what we saw with Luna, it can destroy permanently the ecosystem, because the liquidity pools will just get completely drained. And it's like incredibly hard to come back from it. Whereas with an NFT project, there's no liquidity pool. So like people could panic, they could take an NFT down to zero, but if enough people like hold and buyers resume, it can go up to 5 ETH again, because there's no like killing blow that can happen to an NFT project on like a token.
You can destroy an NFT floor price by just lowering the floor price to something insanely low, or like it's still, it can't be like 0.01 because then people know that it was like a person to person sale sort of thing. But you can definitely attack a floor, and theoretically you could use your own wallets, multiple wallets, in order to sell amongst yourself.
Like sell to yourself, but crash the floor.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that kind of stuff is happening.
There's no doubt that it is. Like, it's something that makes a ton of sense. Ultimately, if you're trying to get in to a project at a certain level, I mean, that's illegal. But if it's a bunch of different, if you can end up with some sort of wallet with capital in it that comes from, I don't know how you get it in there in the first place. I guess you would tornado cash it in, but however you get that money in, you could definitely attack a floor. On the broader market thing, though, I mean, this chart just looks bad.
It looks bad. And it's bad, Nick. I think you would agree. It's bad because it's not just the volume looks bad, but it's also the market sentiment. Because, like, who's going to come in and start the next bull run when, like, inflation is crushing? A lot of people just gave back 20, 30% of their net worth in the crypto retracement, right? It's like, who's going to come create the next rally? You know what I mean?
It's going to take a bit. And the bigger thing is like, look, any skilled investor is basically going to say, well, if I can buy this thing for 50% less,
why am I not going to win?
Why would I not buy that thing for 50% less? And if the overall consensus of the market is it's going down, that said, like, you never know. And like, there could be some upward catalyst. There could be some, maybe the crypto market detaches from the macro market, like the stock market. Maybe the stock market goes on a temporary boom.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, as you said, I think the biggest macro event that could happen would be like a dovish change of stance from the Federal Reserve. That would be the biggest like risk on macro catalyst. But then on the micro side, I do think that if crypto can consolidate or slightly trend up for a couple of weeks, if you get some like really cool projects coming out and there's a lot more like excitement, like it could spark a little bit of a run. But yeah, I don't think we're going to go to, you know, on anything bonkers over this next period of time. I think, I mean, if you're interested in deploying capital here, you need to be very conservative, you know, and not like throw it all in right here.
The technicals just don't look good, no matter how you look at it. And so, and usually we don't just like V down one day and go straight back up the next. We kind of did when we had like the financial crisis, when we had COVID. We hit a bottom, and I don't know that it actually came back to that bottom, but you can end up there. I just don't know what the catalyst is at this moment, and these technicals just don't look pretty to me. I feel like we got to at least retest that 1800 level with Ethereum, is my own opinion. Someone, I just wanted a quick shout out, a commenter on YouTube who said, late notice, you guys manifest the bear through self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, late notice, I want to thank you for believing that we have such a significant influence over the market, and that literally anybody that has a significant pool of capital is making decisions based on anything that we say in this show.
Yeah, and if you converse that statement, if three people can manifest a bear market, then three people could also logically manifest a bull market. And if we had the capability of doing that, we would be stupidly wealthy, because pretty much any investor in the world would be calling us up asking for some of that manifestation. Could you manifest a 30% ripper in the stock market? you know, a lot of people would love for us to be able to do that. You are right.
We would love if we could do that, to be frank.
Exactly. Like, we would be doing it right now. Yeah. We don't want to be bears to be bears. You are right that like people, like fear generates fear, just like mania generates more mania. You know, there are cyclical like lemming effects for sure. I think we saw that when ETH went all the way down to 1700, because like USDT started depegging. Everyone starts freaking out like, this is the end, this is the end. So you get a bunch of panic selling. But eventually when that dries up, it, you know, comes back. But that's like temporary effects. I mean, I think it's just like, it's logical to be slightly trending bearish. It's just a logical position.
We have some breaking news in right now. I had just observed this as well, and it does appear there's a major security vulnerability happening right now. Etherscan potentially exploited. If you load an Etherscan, it attempts to have you connect your wallet and keeps forcing you to do that. I did not. I exited out. However, according to OXB1, who's retweeted another tweet from Jail Royal, it's NFTApes.win is trying to connect to your wallet. So it does appear like someone had injected some JavaScript into the site and it's trying to hack you. So
I would say two things. One is that's not the bullish catalyst we're looking for. Or it's going to make
another huge scam.
It's going to make it harder for us to do some bullish manifestation. My second recommendation to Etherscan would be probably not to run advertising on your website where people can inject code into one of the most used crypto websites in the world. You may just want to ask for donations like Wikipedia, but that's just my humble advice.
Well, they're venture backed, so they can't. Well, I went on Etherscan today briefly. That's pretty scary, man. That's scary. I didn't sign any transactions, but shit, that's not fun.
It ain't fun. You know, you got to watch out for those sort of things. But if you tune into this show, in addition to learning about Madonna's vagina, you do learn about exploits in Etherscan, and we keep you safe out there. So that's something that you want to realize is we cover both ends of the spectrum here, and that's something that we really enjoy about this show. I think it would be useful for us to sort of express how we're each trading this portion of the market.
Nick, I just want to quickly say that wasn't even a good hack because Bored Ape owners don't use Etherscan. They don't even probably know it exists. So if you're trying to steal NFTs, it's not the best website to hack because it's only going to, only really sophisticated investors use that. So back to you.
Someone said, show the vagina right now, Joey Bada Boom. And I was thinking, Pio, yeah, maybe you could pull that up on the web. We can just look at Madonna. What are you Googling? Madonna vagina?
No, I did not Google Madonna vagina.
Okay, just wondering. We don't really need to pull that up. Oh, there is one of the images. That's a sort of safe for work version of it, which I really appreciate. You could zoom in a little so we can really, there she is on the operating table. It's sort of a weird thing. I don't know how that factored in, but that's the beginning of her birthing a tree. So if you're wondering what that looks like, that's what's going on right there. Very impressive artwork by Beeple. In terms of this market, let's discuss what's going on. I panic sold after panic buying a Coda. Captain Kicks was not here for that. Took a 4 ETH loss. So that was fun. Right now, they're back up. Another 2 ETH. So should I have panic sold? Probably not. We're seeing other side was for a moment there over three ETH. It does appear to be coming back down.
It's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of other side.
Yeah, it's a huge supply. I don't own any right now, which makes me a little concerned.
Yeah.
Abdallah is really concerned that I'm poor. Am I living in a motel now? I'm at a literal villa for three more days and then back to normal life.
So were you inspired by our trip? You realized we got
a great deal. That's how you got to do it, man. If you run the math, it doesn't make sense to do like a retreat with hotels. You just buy a big house.
It's actually price effective. And when you're working remote, like the cost of an office is so expensive that you're like saving money by everyone working from home and then getting a baller villa for a period of time.
I'm glad we use the same justification
to live an exotic lifestyle. So anyways,
the floor on Mutant Ape Land with a Coda, which I have and Nick did have. Nick sold his the first night at 33 when ETH was like $3,000.
Great sale.
$96,000 or something, right? Something
basically
like that.
Basically $100,000, yeah.
Yeah. Right now it's $43,000 is the floor.
And like 30% of that is because of ETH crashing or 35% of it. So
but it's still part of it. You know, it's part of it. $43,000. Someone just asked if Aku is a buy. Let me see.
Aku got floor swept.
What?
Up to 1.35.
Oh. Well, it was definitely a buy before this. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was at 0.9, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, how am I not buying this right now? Pranksy came in and swept.
That's what I like to see. So, Nick, you wanted us to all go around and
say how you're trading this part of it. I'll just wrap mine, which was I made a bad trade, realized that I'm a complete idiot, that I'm heavily exposed to NFTs right now, moved a lot of money over into GUSD. And so I'm basically sitting with a nice sum of GUSD. I added a little bit of Bitcoin. About 10 grand, I think. And then I also added more Ape. And right now I'm sitting with probably way too much Ape. I think I'm overexposed. I have about $25,000 worth of Ape would be my guess. I bought in more, I think 10K at $5. So, or 525, something like that. So I'm feeling pretty good. Did it even go that low? Maybe 5.6. I may be making that up, but it was in the five somewhere in there. That's how I'm thinking about it right now. I will buy as those drop, but I'm doing small amounts. I think I may have overdone it just slightly by like 10 grand, but you know, whatever. So that's how I'm trading this market, and I'm waiting.
Look, things are... I hope this is a bull trap, quite frankly. I hope that we just go to like Goblin Town full on, because I got some capital to deploy, man. And I just want to ape hard. Like,
yeah, so Pio, what's your trading based on Nick's thing? What's your trading?
Well, right now I'm sitting on my hands. Clearly, I should have been buying more Akutars at sub one ETH, but you know, whatever. So look, how about this? What are the projects that you'll actually like actually deploy capital into, like for real, right? So can I give you like some yeses and noes?
Let's first do the summary of what we're doing right now. One is, and then the other part is your shopping list, which is what.
Fine. What am I doing right now? I'm buying stocks. I'm dollar cost averaging pretty hard. Like I'm buying $40 of Tesla a day. I'm buying like $25 of Coinbase a day. I'm buying like X amount of whatever. Like,
slow down, Pio.
So why? Because it's too much money that I'm deploying. Yeah,
you were like, I'm dollar cost averaging aggressively. I mean, $5 into Tesla. Okay.
Well, do the math on how much money that is, especially when you're buying Tesla, Amazon, Facebook, Coinbase, and I forget the other ones. Like, I'm doing the stock market thing. I was talking about this briefly with Node, because if I go to a bank for a pre-approval right now, which I'm not about to do, but like, you know, if I go to a bank, they're just not going to acknowledge the mounds of Bitcoin, Ethereum, ApeCoin, NFTs, GUSD earning 7% interest. They're going to say it's not money. And so I just want to have more money that the bank recognizes. And since the stock market got gutted in the past few weeks, I was like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and dump a little bit in there. Well, a little bit at a time. We're just going to keep going. I also did like $500 buys, $1,000 buys, $1,500 buys sprinkled in. Basically, when people were like, oh my God, the stock market's crashing so hard, I was just like, all right, cool, $1,500, $500, $1,000, you know, stuff like that. I also did that with ApeCoin at $16. So make sure you follow my moves, ladies and gentlemen. And then on the crypto side, I just have regular buys on Ethereum, ApeCoin, and Bitcoin. I don't buy other stuff. And I'm putting money into GUSD and getting interest on it. On the NFT side, the projects that I'm looking at are something token under 0.2 ETH. And I noticed today that Vayner Sports is now sub 0.2 ETH. So like I have to average down on that, because it's not like the investment thesis has changed. It seems like he's gotten off to a slow start. When projects get off to slow starts, short-sighted NFT investors that think when moon tend to dump and just pour their money into something else. it causes really drastic reductions in floor price, and you end up with Vayner Sports, a supply of 15,000 legit Vayner Media asset at 0.15. In my opinion, we've seen enough examples where this is the type of thing that in 6 months, in 9 months, maybe in a year and a half, who the hell knows, you'll look back and you'll say, I can't believe you could have got a Vayner Sports pass for under 0.2.
So you're saying that you're actively buying NFTs at this price?
I have not, but when I see Vayner Sports sub 0.2, how low is it going to go? Like, what's it going to go to 0.08? Like, at some point, you got to buy the thing.
Awesome.
Nick's nodding. I mean,
I just have a lot of exposure to NFTs, and the question is do I want more? And that's, I don't have a good answer for it. Primarily because, like, we're building a business, and to me, the biggest ROI that I can get is growing the business. And
yeah, so, you're supposed to be doing that anyway. That's not supposed to be impacted with whether or not you're buying NFTs.
Everyone, I appreciate your analysis of how I want to invest my money, Pio. Really, really thank you for that. You're spending $5 a day on buying stock, and that's and probably taking a few minutes here to go in and manually do that each individual day.
No, it's automatic. And, on Robinhood, my former employer, it's automatic.
All I'm letting you know is how I'm managing my money, but appreciate your support. Really,
well, everyone said I'm tired, so I am. I took another Zen, so I'll stop yawning. Allison said Spirit Swap on FTM is compromised. That's pretty significant. Someone also said the Etherscan hack is on CoinGecko now too.
This is the best.
Toe said, hey, Captain, can I have your thoughts on Pixin since reveal is soon? Sorry if you talked about this already. Yeah, I own three of them, and I am looking at it as a complete gamble. I'm not looking at it as like a strong investment play. I mean, in this kind of market, you would imagine that unless the reveal is like insanely phenomenal, and it's not like we've already seen the art, you would expect commons, you're just gambling right now, you'd expect commons to go down and rares to go up. So if like you're in the profit right now and you don't want to gamble, then you probably should sell, you know, pre-reveal. If you do like, you know, gambling for a rare, then you want to hold. I forced my hand. I can't trade them till I get back home, so I'm holding all three of mine. But yeah, I mean, how am I liking Pixin? I think it's a cool project. It's just like, I wouldn't be buying here. But I'm holding because I'm gambling.
So what's your NFT trades right now? Like, why are you thinking about NFTs?
Yeah, I'm not going to buy a single one, except for new projects. I'm down to buy new projects. But like, I don't want to be buying shitty project, low tier projects right now. I don't really want to touch the mid chips. I would be interested in the blue chips, but they still feel a little top heavy on the pricing. If blue chips started going down crazy, like if I could get a Bored Ape for 50 ETH, I would love that opportunity, or even probably 60. But like, I'm only really interested probably in buying blue chips and new projects, and blue chips are too high right now. So I'll just sit on my hands and like wait for like new projects that could, you know, that will come on the horizon.
Someone's referencing when you were wearing a scarf and European style turtlenecks, which is absolutely hilarious. I don't think I would correlate it to bull or bear, but that was hilarious. That was a hilarious moment. And
I don't think people understand. I'm doing fantastic right now. I'm an NFT trader. These moments in markets are where I feel great. When I feel like an idiot is actually in a bull market, yeah. When I'm flipping things for 3X and then they go on a 20X ripper, that's when I feel like an idiot. In these kind of markets, I feel like a genius because I've already taken profits on 80% of the NFTs that I had last year. And I'm sitting like 80% cash, 20% Ethereum, or I'm probably sitting 60% cash, 20% crypto, 20% NFTs right now. So I'm feeling great. I'm feeling absolutely phenomenal. I am not feeling like shit or anything like that. I feel shitty for other people feeling shitty, but I feel fantastic. I feel like my strategy hurts in the bull market, feels fucking awesome in a bear market because I'm like, okay, cool. Because this is why I trade like this, because I've done this cycle before. And when you have liquid, when the bear market capitulates,
then you actually have cash to buy all of the things at the bottom, which is what I want to do. But yeah, I'm feeling fantastic. Okay. Have I stayed up till 4 a.m, 3 out of 4 the last 3 nights? Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little tired, but don't confuse the tired for fear. I am in the zone.
Fearless. Fearless. In terms of watch lists, so let's go into some of those and then we wrap, I guess.
Yeah. But I can't wait to hear both of your watch lists. I literally can't wait, especially you, Nifty Nick, especially you right down there, Nifty Nick. I want to know what's on Nifty Nick's watch list. Everybody, you ought to know this. He's not going to buy the stuff on his watch list, but you want to buy it. You want to buy the stuff on his watch list with his targets. He's going to lower the targets when the targets get hit, and then it's never going to go that low, and so he's not going to buy them, but you're going to want to buy them. So let's start with Nifty Nick. What's going on, Nick? What are the targets? What are the projects?
So I have a limited set of things that I'm interested in, frankly. Akutaris was one of them.
Oh!
I'm sad that the price pumped right now, but honestly, I don't believe any pump right now. I just do not believe any pump is going to hold. I want to be proven wrong. So for me, it doesn't matter. I win either way. Because I have a huge bag of NFTs. We got apes bordering 100 ETH once again, bouncing off of like, it was down to like 82 or something like that. It was pretty bad. It was looking bloody. And that's down from 145 ETH, which is pretty bonkers, but I also was airdropped essentially like, you know, a bunch of ETH. So it kind of adds up. So Akutaris on my watch list.
And can I also say, like, Nick is also feeling great because he took a lot of profits. And if you've been watching the NFT show for the past couple of weeks, we have definitely been sharing sentiments. I've literally been spamming Nifty Portal for the past 3 weeks before the dump. Take profits, take profits, take profits. So, like, that's why we're not feeling, like, absolutely wrecked, because we are not always right, but we also, you know when to, you know, take some profits, and we hope other people did too.
Part of me wishes that I had sold maybe a doodle or something like that. The thing is I'm waiting on long-term capital gains. And at this point, like, I'm assuming that the NFT market is going to bounce again. Pio's over there literally taking notes. So remember, you're gonna be tested on this. He has a pen and a notebook and is ready to study.
I know how to write longhand.
Okay. Longhand? What is that? What is it? What does that
shorthand
mean? I don't even. So the other one that I have on here is Other Side. I want a Coda. I should have just held the one that I bought, frankly. Like, I should have just held it. But, you know, I'm down to wait, and I don't need a Coda. I don't need a Coda. It's not a necessary thing for me. All that they're doing is opening up other trading opportunities. But the reality is Bored Ape Yacht Club is focused on delivering value to apes, number one. That's the number one priority. So where else is that going to go? Seriously, what are you doing right now? Like, what are you focused on?
Continue. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
You seem focused on something else though. I'm trying to figure
out. No, I'm focused on what you're saying.
Got it. So, Other Side is the other one. And this is a weird one. I'm interested in these OK Bears.
Okay.
I had said that before when we were on the show. I said, I could see this being a Bored Ape Yacht Club style thing. The distinction is it's not clear to me that the owners are deep on this.
Like, the owners aren't Bored Ape Yacht Club quality. I can tell you that much. Yeah. There are people like Nate Rivers, like, putting their life on the line to pump these. So I think that they have community strength. They probably don't have project owner strength. But literally, what OK Bears could do is, instead of coming up with their own ideas, like, let's give everyone a free wristband, they could just literally copy Bored Ape Yacht Club's roadmap to the T, and they would probably have some success with it. I do like OK Bears on that list. I think that's
so Pio's writing down his list. That's what he's doing right now, is literally developing a list, because I don't know what else.
I did get some flack in the Discord for on the NFT show saying that I like OK Bears.
So
Pio asked me what I would buy in the top 20. That was
there's ones that there's ones I don't even want to say. But we'll say an obvious one, CryptoPunks. I want to own a CryptoPunk, and I'm very interested in owning one. Carton is an obvious one for me, and that's the one that I didn't want to say.
What's that app?
I don't know, 1.4.
You're going to have time 40th. With that, no matter what, because everyone is so short-sighted in the NFT space that this thing it's just keeps pumping and dumping.
Now someone's saying, I don't know if people are just spreading rumors, but now someone's saying Prement got hacked.
Well, I'm not going on those sites right now. Ladies and gentlemen, go outside. Don't connect a MetaMask wallet to a website. Just watch our content. And I guess you could probably connect your MetaMask to OpenSea, or is that like so dumb?
I think that's
just don't do anything at the moment. There's no need. Let's just kill all the liquidity, suck up the liquidity, destroy the market. That's what we're looking for right now. Final pick here.
There has birds. Every community posting Prement hack. There has to be some sort of internal software application that all of these people share that got exploited, because there's no way all of these websites randomly got exploited. Like there has to be a common thing they're all using.
A shared script.
The shared script, exactly, that got exploited. So I gave you my thoughts on Pixin. I literally said it.
You know what it is? It's probably one of the Web3.js tools.
It's got to be. I've already said it twice. I think Pixin, if it was in a bull market, I would love it a lot more. It's in a bear market, so I think that there's an 80% chance that commons dump on reveal, rares go up. So you're really gambling on a rare if you don't sell pre-reveal. No, you're good, man. I have three, but I can't sell them until I get home. So I'm just
which one?
I'm just gambling. PXN.
Oh, PXN, yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple things. First of all, Ray T said somebody's gotta go hack the NBA collection, shake my head, straight flopped, which is an absolutely hilarious comment. I agree with you. Let's go hack that collection. Some other people are saying that the Bitcoin blockchain was hacked. I'm gonna go ahead and call cap on that, amigo. It's literally not a thing. It's not possible. So get the F out if you're gonna say Bitcoin.
Hey, how dare you say anything negative about the Ponzi scheme that is Bitcoin to Pio, okay? How dare you say that? Look how offended he is even by...
All right, Pio, are you going next or is it my turn?
What's your watch list, Bitcoin Maxi?
I thought you were about to... you said Bitcoin Maxi. I thought you literally were about to say, what's your watch list, bitch? Like, oh, that would have been funny as hell. No, Nick Kicks, I want you to go. I'm fascinated. Okay. I have my list. My list is on wax right here. Nick was right. Awesome. That's what I was doing. I got my little list that I put on this shopping bag where I bought my mom Mother's Day presents. Go ahead, Kicks.
Did you have to let everyone know that you bought your mom a Mother's Day present? Wow. What a man. Look at this man. What a great man.
So I have a couple of projects, and these are at price targets where I would just like absolutely buy. A lot of these probably won't get to these price targets. And also they may not get to these price targets if ETH goes down. But in that case, the USD is cheaper, so I may buy them a little bit higher. But I would love to get Bored Ape Yacht Club at 50-60. I don't think it will go that low, but that's like the range where I would definitely, even in a shitty market, buy. I think Mebits are really interesting, especially if you can get them in the 4-5 ETH range, primarily because one of the Bored Ape founders said that they're excited to work on that after Other Deeds, which is, it is now after Other Deeds. So I think that that has a potential for a bear market pump, because unlike Other Deeds, it's only a 20K supplies. If they do some sort of cool integration, that could be a potentially good buy, even not much lower from here. I think NFT Worlds is an interesting one, sub 4. If 10KTF went down to like 0.3, 0.4, I'd be taking a look at it. If CryptoPunks got all the way down to like 30 ETH, I think that I would probably definitely scoop one there. OK Bears, I like. And even at these existing prices, I think that they could potentially They're only at 2.5 ETH. They could even make runs at these prices. So I like that one. And that's it for me.
Okay. So look, you guys are given exact price targets. I'm not as advanced as you guys. I'm more of a sentiment guy. And so look, a good time to buy was earlier this week when NFTs were quote unquote dead, right? If this is a dead cap bounce, then we're going to have another event with people just getting completely wrecked, right? Like just really bad. And so if we have like one of those days where it literally feels so, so, so bad, that would be when I predict all these projects have a bottom, because I don't want to buy a project that kind of has its own bottom, because that would kind of mean that something horrendous happened. Unless it was Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem, it wouldn't make sense. So on the art side, the only thing that I'm comfortable investing in is two things. Well, there's maybe three. So CryptoPunks, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's so expensive. Well, guess what? If everything's like going to zero, maybe we can get a CryptoPunk for like a relatively reasonable price, right? Like a price where if you've had some wins in the NFT space, you can afford it, right? Or like you can take the risk on it, right? CryptoPunks have historical significance. They're now owned by Yuga Labs. You have the IP for them, which people are sleeping on hardcore, and no one ever has to do anything for them. They're not a startup company. They're historical art, okay? Other art piece, my man Nifty Nick, Damien Hirst. Damien Hirst is a big deal artist from the traditional art world. He seems to understand blockchain and crypto and NFT artwork to a deep capacity. He's also old. No disrespect, Damien. You're the fucking man. When artists die, their work gets a lot more popular. Now, look, I'm not trying to be a dick here. And I hope I meet Damien Hirst, and he seems like an incredibly cool guy. I hope he and I can drink a
spot. I made that same argument with Jose Delbo. Remember him on Nifty Gateway?
Yep.
People were talking about the same thing there. They're like, he's in his 80s, you know? So fucked up. But whatever.
It's fucked up, but it's literally.
Damien Hirst is only 56, so you got a ways to go.
He is? Oh, he's not even that old. Damien, I hope you will live to be 96, bro. I'm going to get wrecked for this thesis. Like, we're going to keep getting
bigger. PO going for that 40-year, he'll die eventually hold.
Well, literally, we're going to get a bigger and bigger audience. They're going to dig this up in 3 years. They're going to be like, look what he said. Like,
he wanted him to die.
Yeah, exactly. But regardless, Damien Hirst, like, it seems like there's not a lot of attention on that. And it is a fine art piece that's a reasonable price compared to some of the other fine art stuff. And then Drift's photographs are incredibly cheap for the open edition. It's just so cheap. And so at some point, like, you're going to want to buy those, especially since, like, he could do like a burn mechanic or something in the future. I know he doesn't want to talk about utility. I totally get it. But he did sell like a large supply of one piece of photography. So don't be surprised if you do see some sort of thing where you trade five of them for something else and it causes a bull run, blah, blah, blah. Plus, I also think that NFT technology is like a very native type of technology to photography. It allows photographers to monetize their photography in a way that they never could before, and almost like adds this kind of new system that photographers can plug into. So I've long said that I'm insanely bullish on NFT photography, like just as a technology resource. And I think more famous photographers will emerge from the NFT space than we saw previously, because there's only like 6, 7, 8 huge names that are mainstream in the traditional art world from the photography medium. Quite frankly, the photography medium is slept on and disrespected. So on the startup company side of the NFT space.
Real quick, I just want to inject something about what you're saying about some of these pieces. It made me think, we should be selling any of the stuff that's in a loss position right now outside of the ones that you want to long-term hold. Like, even if you have the currency, well, the currency I bought for cheap, so it doesn't matter. But any of these different items that are being undercut right now, I feel like you should just sell them and reset. Like you were talking about Vayner Sports Pass. I like it at this low price. Why not just dump the five that I have?
Reset and then the cost basis.
Yeah, and go buy five more and then take that loss. Now's an interesting time to do that.
For someone like you that has what a almost six-figure sale with Dakota, you also dumped the land, so that was probably another $30,000. The extra land.
Oh no, I've taken off hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably about $300,000 or $400,000.
dude, it's a no-brainer for you to crash the floor. I'll buy the Vayner Sports off of you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you should go crash the floor.
Maybe we shouldn't say that on record.
Yeah, AJ's going to be like, what the fuck?
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, AJ is going to be like, what are you guys doing? But in all seriousness, for someone in Nick's position, he's basically looking to offset monster gains. If you don't understand what we're talking about, Nick should sell stuff that he wants to hold at a loss right now, book those losses. Those losses offset the monster gains that he's already booked. He's got locked in gains this year in the six-figure territory, multiple six figures. That'll offset those. Then he still gets to buy back into the collection. He's writing off the gas fees. Yo, my man Nick's about to be set the F up, man. Let's see if he actually does it, though.
Yeah, you should do that. You should use Spencer's little trick, and if you're down on any of your ETH buys, swap it into WEETH for some
that's
tax.
That's another good one. I like that.
Oh yeah. My God.
I don't have a ton of ETH right now, so it doesn't matter.
That's I've actually noticed that about you. It's kind of weird. You're like
He never has ETH.
He never has ETH. He's like a GUSD NFT maxi.
It is so weird.
I'll buy back into ETH. I will buy back into ETH. I want to buy like five ETH.
Yeah, you're playing a dangerous game, buddy.
NFT Nick is like that, you know, like the old NFT guy Nick that goes to like the coffee shop and they raise prices by a dollar and he only brings like $4 every day and he's like, what the, I don't have enough for that, even though he's like stupid rich, you know.
He pays with exact change, you know, like that kind of guy. Yeah, that's how Nick is. I've seen it. Everything we just said, for someone that's in Nick's position, I realize that most of our audience didn't book multiple $100,000 wins because they're not as smart as Nick is, but no, I'm just kidding. You want to reset that cost basis. That's basically like a stock market play that a lot of people do.
You can't do it with stocks. You have to wait to buy back in, but with 30 crypto, days, you don't have to.
Yeah. What do they call that? The wash trading in stocks. Yeah. I forgot about that you have to wait 30 days. That's actually crazy too. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. That's true. And you can't, and that's not a law yet with crypto, but there's speculation it will be a law with crypto. But with NFTs, you're not buying the individual collectible back. So this is like the ultimate thing to do with NFTs. If you're in a situation exactly like this, this is the time to do it. Vayner Sports is a good example, blah, blah, blah. Yo, so the projects that I'm looking at on the startup side are specifically Bored Ape Kennel Club, Artifact, Moonbirds, 10KTF, Akutars, even though I already have a massive bag, Other Side Land. Here's why. Bored Ape Kennel Club, Other Side Land, Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem, $500 million in funding, I believe, if I'm not incorrect. Billions of dollars in revenue in 12 calendar months. Cleanest track record in the NFT space of execution. Bluest of all blue chips. First legit metaverse, already has a game built that looks pretty legit. Tokenomics look pretty good. What else? Dogs, only 10,000 dogs. Dogs slept on since the beginning. Dogs are on the roadmap 3 times. What do you want me to say? Like, seriously, like, what do you want me to say? This is on a day where everything is in the red. Like, everything is just bloody as hell.
Not today.
I know. But like I'm saying, I'd buy these on a day like that, right? 10KTF, who's the team? Beeple's a founder. Guy Osiri is a founder, not an advisor. He's an advisor on everyone else's bullshit. He's a founder on 10KTF. And then Weenu, which if you look, are some pretty legit folks. 10KTF is metaverse clothing. 10KTF has been ahead of its time since it first came out. People still don't understand 10KTF. These are all reasons to buy. Akutars. Micah and Summer are two of the most savage founders in the space. There was a big mistake made a month ago, negatively impacted the perception of the project. Nothing else has changed. So there was a devastating technical error. All the business development, the stuff that's like, really hard to do. I'm not poo-pooing software engineering, but you can just pay a team to knock out your software engineering flawlessly. You switch out that team, good to go. Software engineering's taken care of. All the fundamentals are still there. You see it reflected in the price today. I didn't know that it was going to pop the way it did today. Holy shit, you know? Moonbirds. Still got to give it to Kevin Rose.
Ooh, I like that one. If I could get another Moonbird, if I could buy that back for 12.
You like it when he says it and not when I say it? I mean, this is absolute bullshit. Go ahead, P.O. Take the credit.
Wait, because I don't have respect for you because you didn't even make money on Moonbirds. You actually lost money on it. At least P.O.
I made 8 ETH.
On the sun. How many?
8 ETH.
That's good.
I'm going to have to check that.
And you don't have 8 ETH now.
I Nick bought it made 22 and sold it like 29 or 30.
29 or 30.
What did you have a save on fees card that you got to use or something?
Yeah, huh? you had a coupon.
Gotcha. We're talking profits without fees included. Yeah, then I made fucking 18 and a half, baby. No, I'm kidding with you, Nick. No, I like that both of you all like it. I mean,
are
the fact
kidding?
That all three of us
you
like
sounded
it.
Pretty serious. I'm gonna be honest. You sound pretty fucking serious there. So next time you come around, you know, talking that mouth, you know, running that mouth that. Those words.
Okay.
You know you like my mouth.
I really do.
The thing with Moonbirds, the only thing I didn't like was like they made nesting irrelevant, which I thought was just such a miscalculation.
I sold it 28. So I bought it 21.
You made 4.5 ETH. Congratulations.
I made 13, 14.
So you basically made everything you torched on the Coda.
Basically.
All right. So
it's all good. You're up huge, man.
Here we go. So Moonbirds, Kevin Rose, right? Nick is – you guys are both better versed with Kevin Rose. However, Nick has expressed that Kevin Rose is like the product champ. Like he builds sick, nasty, scalable products, right? Right? Wrong?
He's a product person.
He's a product guy. People seem to be very inspired by Kevin Rose and his understanding of Web3, his understanding of technology, his ability to scale. Seems to be accepted by the market. If he's going to come through and innovate on the product side and crush and then also murder the conference game, which we know conferences are worth $10,000 now, Nick, right? Or $20,000, $30,000. Just
price
kidding.
Price dropped for them.
Yeah, no, it's dropped. But the bottom line is if he's going to be Mr. Kevin Rose, conference, product, scalability, drive value, this is an elite club. I like Moonbirds. I like it. I don't see a big fuck up. He already had like that kind of murky situation with the former COO. That's like, it didn't matter. Clearly it didn't matter that much. Like if you bought in on the first day at 8 ETH, you're just sitting pretty through all this, you know? So these are the things that, and then last but not least is Artifact. Damn, Artifact is expensive, man. Artifact is holding up like a goddamn brick house in this storm. It's crazy. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to buy Artifact or buy like the good Artifact. It's just so much money. And when we get to those levels, I feel like I'm going to buy Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem or buy Moonbird ecosystem instead or buy like a ton of 10 KTF. But that's my list. That's my whole list. I don't know. Do you guys disagree?
Yeah.
And look, the carton. I already have the carton, though. And don't be surprised if the carton goes lower. I'd buy another one for sure.
I don't know what was I going to say? Those all sound legitimate. I don't know that I'd buy all of them, but I like where – dude, I like where I'm at right now. I'm very happy. One other to check out would be any Vayner stuff. We mentioned Vayner Sports Pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at V-Friends.
V-Friends is down to 7 ETH.
V-Friends 2 as well.
And so, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. The VCon tickets are 0.219. Very interesting. You know,
M123, L123 said, so every blue chip in a carton.
Pretty much.
So every blue chip in a carton. All right, look, we can wrap. Look, hey, sign up for FTX. Sign up at the nifty.com/FTX or with the code.
If you're not in the Nifty Portal Discord, what are you doing? If you don't own a Nifty Portal, what are you doing? Okay, you're all acting shocked. Oh, NFTs went down. If you were in the portal, you would have picked up on the vibes, right? And what you don't know is when you get a portal access, you get one free 30-minute call with NFT Nick once a month. No, he's going to walk you through your portfolio and give
you
that
right through
really good
financial advice.
Let's be clear, that's not true.
One portal equals one 30-minute one-on-one private call with Nick.
Definitely not.
Definitely but Nick not does make an appearance every now and then in the portal and just drops straight fire.
Somebody just said Snowfro is a beast. Snowfro was in our seed round, MF-er. I agree he's a beast. I agree. And Node just said, I'm getting a steak dinner from Nick, baby, for sweeping the floor on portals. That's right, Node.
Yeah, he is.
Taking you out to a one-on-one romantic steak dinner. It's going to be
well, no, he invited both of us, and he agreed that him and I are going to split a tomahawk steak. So we may actually have some more intimate bonding than even him and Nick. I will kind of try to create a little rivalry there, a little triangle.
We could go to what's the steakhouse?
Peter Luger's.
Peter Luger's, yeah.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
They dry age the steak.
Mob run, cash only.
Woo-hoo. Oh, wait, it's cash? Okay, yeah, we can't go there. Why do we have feedback?
Captain King's the king. Yeah, yeah, the king of audio. All right, he also cut off the FTX sponsorship. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on the mobile app. FTX, they get it. SBF just bought 7.5% of Robinhood himself. What a badass. What a cowboy. You think that there's bad things in the future of FTX? You're going to want to have an account and you want to sign up with us. When you sign up with us, you get $10 back. Or excuse me.
So you're going to sign up if you think there's bad things?
What are you talking about?
That's what you said. He said, you think there's bad things with FTX? You're going to want to sign up.
No, I meant to say, like, you're tripping if you think that there's anything bad with FTX.
Okay, just clarifying, because we think they're great.
We think they're fantastic. We will see you guys later. Thanks for watching the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thenifty.com/FTX. That's what you want to do. Smash the subscribe, like the like. It's been real. It's been real.
See you guys. See ya.